Last week, I had an amazing privilege. I was invited to be the worship leader for a group of American Baptist leaders. So for 3 days in Philadelphia, I led 3 worship services and 2 morning meditations, and it was fabulous. There'll be more about that in the newsletter next week. But by the time I got to the airport on Wednesday, I was exhausted. And the winds were blowing, and every plane trying to get out of Philadelphia was delayed. That's why I missed the community meal. And many people crowded in the section of the waiting room where I was seated were grumpy. Among them, 2 little girls, twins, who looked to be about 3 or 4 years of age, and they were wailing. And I was not happy. Their mom, harried as she was, pulled them into her lap, but they continued to wail. And she began to dig in her bag, and she pulled out finger puppets. She pulled out snacks. She pulled out Morocco's. Nothing. She dug some more and pulled out 3 tattered fabric books. I'm old enough to remember them. You could wash them. And she gathered her charges into her lap. She whispered in their ears. And then they jumped out of her lap and sat in front of her like waiting students. And the first book was an ABC book. And they sang their ABCs, melting the hearts of the grumps. Second book, Old MacDonald. We were treated to a chorus. I, like others, very interested in what the third book was. She pulled it out, opened it, and these 2 little girls folded their hands, looked up at their mother, and they sang for us the Lord's Prayer. They were tiny. And as they didn't get it all right. But as they sang, I kept thinking, those words are in their beings. They'll know these words for the rest of their lives. They may not understand them now, but soon they'll have meaning. And then they'll be like us, praying on Sunday morning. And then I thought about us. How often do we pray that prayer and no longer hear the words because it's so rote? How often do we pray the disciples' prayer, the Lord's prayer, and miss the meaning? And while I might think about us, I thought about me. I know Alicia had just written a paper about it, and I was convicted sitting in my office as she talked about aspects of the Lord's Prayer I had never thought of. So as those beautiful little girls sang, I promised to study the Lord's Prayer. And I opened my phone, because there's a Bible in that, and I saw for among the first time kind of how the petitions of the Lord's Prayer lay out. The final 4 are all about us. The final 4 are, give me the daily bread, forgive me my trespasses, don't lead me into temptation, and deliver me. Do you hear all the personal pronouns? The final 4 are about me and what I need God to do, but the first 2. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The first 2 petitions are not about me or my individual needs. The first 2 petitions are about God's engagement with creation. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Each time you and I pray that, we are praying this powerful prayer, not about our individual needs, but about God's kingdom and God's will being done here on earth. So what is God's kingdom? God's kingdom is not a place. It does not occupy a specific territory. God's kingdom is an ideal. It's a way of living and a way of being. God's kingdom is that fullness. Did you hear what Patty read? God's kingdom is like a mustard seed plant that starts so small but grows so big that the birds can nest in it. God's kingdom from that mustard seed parable is a place of community where the birds gather. It's a place of shelter where they are safe. It's a place of safety and a place of home. It's a place of food and nesting. It's a place of rest and a place of beauty. That's God's kingdom. Start small, but all who come are welcome. All who come will find safety and shelter, will find community, and will find food and protection and rest. When we pray, "Your kingdom come," we're praying for a place, an ideal, a way that is so much larger than any one place. We're praying for a realm where all might know those gifts of beauty and shelter and rest and comfort and community. Your kingdom come. It's like yeast. Doesn't take much, but it grows to have enough for everyone. It's about abundance. And that's a little like God's will. You see, God's will for all of creation is that we be reconciled to God, that we be in relationship, right relationship with God. God's will for all of creation is that we know just as we are created, we are beloved by God, that we are valued by God. In God's image and likeness, we are enough in who we are and worthy of God's love and God's presence, God's Spirit in us. The will of God is that we are reconciled, that we know we are loved, that we know we are valued, and that we know the pattern that God has set before us to live. God's will is that we love God and one another. We are called, just as the choir sang, to eradicate violence. We are called, as the choir sang, to serve one another. We're called, just as the choir sang, to love, to do justice and to love tenderly. That's God's will. God's kingdom is this place of abundance and enough. God's will is that we live into it and take this message, the good news made known to us in Jesus, to take it out into the world and to share it wherever we go. Your kingdom come, the abundance and the safety and the shelter and the community and the rest. Your will be done. This abundance, this place of being wholly reconciled on earth. Beloved, I'm just foolish enough to believe that if this is what God called us to, then God will equip us to do it. I'm just foolish enough to believe that even though we may not look as if we have all the might and power in the world, we serve a God that does. And that our call to move in these ways is our next right step. Our next right step as a church is to understand that we have been called. We've been called to move out into the world and to make the world a better place. Our next right step is to know the power that we have and not be daunted, not be worried by our size. Our next right step is to bring God's kingdom and God's will to play in the space God has planted us. What if every church open in Christ's name really believed that their role, our role, was to bring the rest and the peace and the plenty and the community and the shelter of the kingdom, like that parable? What if we believed that it was our job to bring God's will, that abundance, that enough, that love God and one another? What would the world be like? Well, I want you to know that the council of this church has started on a journey. The council and the vision team have started on a journey to bring God's will, to bring God's kingdom. And you'll hear more about it, but there are six things that we said were going to be our goals and our outcomes. We want to be part of the journey of others. We want to walk with our brothers and sisters and share the good news of the love of the one we serve. We want very much to learn here how to better share God moments, not in the way of stepping on somebody else's faith, that's above our pay grade, but in the way of sharing what we believe in love. We want to make a positive difference in the world, not only locally, but beyond. And we want to be resilient, because we know in taking this on, it will be difficult. But we want to be resilient, and we want to have new opportunities to share what is vital with those young people that fill these pews at the beginning of worship. Here, we want to grow and serve and learn and build. Beloved, the vision team and the council are praying, Lord, help us bring up there, down here. Help us live fully into those words, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. We can't affect the heaven part, but we are called to affect the earth part. We are called to make a difference. We are called to be kingdom builders and kingdom dreamers and kingdom bringers right here on the corner of Lincoln and Grove. I pray that as we pray that disciples' prayer, that Lord's prayer going forward, we will be as affected as I was when I saw those two little girls. We'll be affected because we will have more knowledge and we will know that it is in our hands, in this place, to bring up there, down here. Come all Christians, be committed. Come all Christians, be committed. Our closing hymn asks us to tune our hearts to God, asks us to be on one accord with God. To be on accord for on one accord for what? Simply said, bring up there, down here. Gracious God, so many places play church. We want to be real about your call to us. We want to be authentic and sincere. Our hearts broken open that we might do what you've given our hands to do. Bring up there, down here. Guide us. Show us how we might be that committed body. And we will go into the world with your ethic of love to make the difference you call us to make in your name, for your sake, our God. This we pray. Amen and amen.